Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Russ Terry, the founder and CEO of Life Coach Radio Networks. Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free audiobook when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And now, here's today's show.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to Mark My Words here on the Life Coach Radio Network. And today is Sunday, November 16th. I'm Mark Shaw, broadcasting live from New York City. I'm a certified life and business coach, and twice per month I host Mark My Words, which is a life coaching-oriented show where I interview various people with inspiring life stories and overcoming adversity. I also speak with authors of great coaching-related books and programs, as well as many others who have great things to say. And I even sometimes do some free coaching live on the air, which, of course, is what I'll be doing this evening. So tune in the first and third Sunday of every month. So, yes, tonight is another free coaching hour here on Mark My Words. If you would like to be coached, feel free to call in. The number to call is 646-716-9397. That's 646-716-9397 to call into the studio here at Mark My Words Radio to be coached. And it looks like we already actually have a few callers on the line already. So I'm going to start with those, and then hopefully we'll be able to get to the rest of your calls as other folks call in this evening. And if not, then certainly please, we hope you'll try in the future, or you can just email me through the markmywordsradio.com website and inform me of your interest in being coached on a future show. Again, the number to call is 646-716-9397. So let's jump in and get started with our free live coaching hour. And I think that I'm going to give our callers the best I've got tonight in my coaching, because I am just coming off of, literally as of 2 hours ago, a really amazing, wonderful, fabulous training weekend with IPEC Coaching, with a whole bunch of brand new coaching students and guests, and it was just a really, really awesome, awesome weekend. So, and as those of you who know me, it's one of my favorite things to do. So I'm just flying high, ran home, and now here I am doing the broadcast after just finishing 30 hours in front of the room training. So I have been talking for the last 3 days, actually for the past 9 days because of other seminars that I've been giving. So hopefully my voice will hold up. So jumping right in with our first caller, it looks like we have Kathy from White Plains. So Kathy, welcome to Mark My Words.
Hi, Mark. Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm so glad I got through.
Oh, great. Well, you're welcome. I am, too. So what are we helping you with tonight?
You know, Mark, I have a strange kind of, like, thing going on. I feel a little puzzled about the way I'm showing up when I have to be in large groups. So, like, maybe more than 20, 25 people. And, I mean, I am really sociable. I've been, you know, in sales all my life. I really feel comfortable around people. I have a lot of friends. I do public speaking. Not shy at all about that. I'm perfectly fine with it. But when I have to participate, like a participant in this large groups, I feel a little disconnected from everybody. I feel like more of an observer than a participant. And it makes me feel strange because, like, in all of the social situations, I'm, like, so kind of in tune. And this makes me feel a little odd. And, it's not a new feeling. I think, I remember before at other times. But more so, I'm more aware of it, I think, now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, great. So here you're saying that you're feeling a little disconnected when you're in groups of about 20 or 25 or more. So tell me a little bit, Kathy, when you say disconnected, what do you mean?
I feel like there's, like, I almost feel like I'm a little bit of invisible. I feel like, I don't want to say ignored, but like, you know, if I didn't speak up, like other people might not reach out to me. I think I'm better on one-on-one conversations, but I mean, I'm talking sometimes like groups of 200 or 300 people, maybe just more, definitely more than 20 or 25, 50. But I just feel like in large groups, I don't really feel like I'm connecting for some reason. I guess the best way I can describe it is I feel like I'm showing up sort of invisible, or I'm not like really, I almost like feel a little ignored. And it's strange because I don't know why.
So you're saying that you, I just want to clarify the size of the group you're talking about. So you're not saying that it happens in groups of 25, 30, or 50, but it's in really larger groups, like a couple of hundred.
I think anything over, anything like over 30, 50, like when it gets into like that big group setting.
Anything over that, okay.
Yeah. I don't know why that number seems to ring a bell, but it does.
Yeah, okay, great. So you feel disconnected. You feel like people don't necessarily approach you. It's hard for you to connect with other folks, talk to them, start conversations. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I mean, I'll talk to the person next to me, this is an example. Like when the group breaks up, like they'll be together for a while. I just came back from Florida, 3-day event. So like when the group breaks up, I feel like the fifth grader who's afraid that nobody's going to pick them for the, you know, they get in line to pick
right.
or something. So I feel like that. And so, like, you know, I'll talk to one or two people. But I feel like if I didn't initiate those conversations, like, people wouldn't seek me out.
Mm-hmm.
I notice it more and more as I become more aware and, you know, I'm more in tune with what I'm myself.
Right. So how long has this been the case for you?
You know, I was trying to think of that. I think I've always had some familiarity with it. I do, and that's why I kind of related it to, like, back when you're in middle school and you might be afraid they're not going to pick you. I mean, I had friends and I was always social, but I think that's a little bit of a fear, like, when were they going to pick you or somebody else, or were you going to be the last one there? And
right.
I never was, but I just kind of, like, feels like that. I think when I started thinking about this, that sort of came up.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what was it like when you were in the fifth grade and you had groups and stuff like that? What's that like?
I always got picked. I had friends, but I think it was more like the feeling that I might not be. And although I don't remember it ever happening.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Does that make sense?
All right. Yeah. No, absolutely. It's pretty common for people to feel intimidated in groups and, you know, depending on how much of an introvert or an extrovert they are and that sort of thing. Where are you on the introvert-extrovert scale when you take different personality style assessments, if you've ever taken any?
I've taken the Myers-Briggs. I'm always an extrovert. I mean, I love the core values, and that's one that I know – I think I've heard you speak about in the past on your show, but I'm highly, profoundly merchant and an innovator, and I know that doesn't necessarily make me an extrovert, but, I mean, I've been in sales all my life and, you know, definitely out meeting people, greeting people, and I'm comfortable with that.
Right. Okay. All right. So tell me, what might it be about a group as it gets to a certain point that starts to make you feel uncomfortable?
Well, that's obviously a great question. I think I feel a little bit like, I think the bigger the group gets, I feel a little more depersonalized.
Okay, tell me a little bit more about that when you say depersonalized.
Like you kind of get lost. You kind of can get lost in large groups, like overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
So depersonalized, like, you know, the focus is, like, on maybe the speaker or on, I guess that's the best way I can say it. It kind of feels a little disconnected, a little depersonalized when the group is that big or gets bigger.
Okay. So I just want to clarify something. And so I'm not sure if you're saying that you find yourself anxious about connecting with others or that you're actually prefer to and you're okay with it. It just, you feel invisible like the attention that you want to get just stops coming your way after the group gets to a certain size?
I think it might be the second one. I think it, because I'm really okay by myself, and I'm not, like, you know, feeling like there's anything wrong with me. It's not like a victim kind of thing. It's just, I think it's just that. It just feels like, you know, like, why aren't people, like, reaching out to me or approaching me? And I'll see all these other people in large groups, and I'll have maybe one or two people to speak with, but it wouldn't be the big group that's all going to go to lunch and say, would you like to come? I mean, it does happen sometimes, but it's not like the first day. It would have to be after I was there a while.
Right.
So it takes me a little longer to warm up to people or them to warm up to me.
Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit then, Kathy, about why, what is it about connecting at that level, like, you know, being one of the people that's going out to lunch with a large group of people, what is it about that that's particularly important to you?
You know, I think it's more the image of being included. I'm happy and usually pretty content to, like, go with one or two people and have a really great conversation, and that usually does happen. But I just feel like I didn't make it to the big table.
Yeah.
And that seems silly, but I probably would be happier with just my group of three or two or three. But I feel like I didn't get picked to sit at the big table.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what is it about being at the big table that's so important to you? What is it about, what does it mean to be at the big table, for example?
I guess I've made it to mean something, but I'm not getting clarity on it.
Uh-huh. All right, because it sounds like it's pretty significant to you to be one of the people at the big table instead of at the kids' table, right?
I know, it sounds so silly. I'm certainly a mature woman, at least for the age-wise.
Right. Although, you know, I used to laugh that, you know, at all my family gatherings, like, you know, during the Passover holiday, and we go to Passover Seders, and I think I was stuck at the kids' table until I was about 38. So, you know, so I can kind of relate to that sentiment a little bit. You know, still a kid, right? Now there's enough little kids way younger than me that I don't have to contend with that anymore. Although, now I want to be at the kids' table because it's way
now
more fun.
Now you do. Right? You wish they'd include you, right? I think it's more
entertaining. Yeah, it's more fun.
It was probably more fun, right? I think this is more about an inner game kind of thing, like, almost like the law of attraction. I think that's what, like, almost like, now that we're talking, it's almost like the law of attraction. I'm, like, wondering why I'm not attracting those people, and it looks like other people are, like, being attracted in larger groups. I think maybe that's it. I'm kind of focusing on this law of attraction thing recently.
Okay. So that you're not attracting larger groups.
Or I'm not attracting the energy from larger groups of people that seem to be like-minded. And I'm like, I'm like-minded. Why am I not, you know, attracting that same group of people?
Mm-hmm. So what's the difference, the fundamental difference for you between the group that you are attracting versus a group that you'd rather attract?
I think it's a sense of belonging, you know, like an acceptance on one hand, and on the other hand, you know, it seems okay, but I think I would like to be part of the big group, and then if I chose not to go, that would be my choice, but I feel like I might have gotten sort of excluded because I wasn't persistent enough, or not persistent, I wasn't assertive enough, or I didn't maybe, I don't know what I could have done that would have been different.
Mm-hmm.
It's a strange thing. It just feels weird when I'm in this large group.
Sure. Sure. So
it's baffling me.
Sure. No, of course, of course. So I guess what I'm curious about, Kathy, is that it doesn't, I'm not hearing that you're not attracting people, even in the large groups. It says you're not attracting that large in-group, but you're attracting
exactly
perhaps a smaller group.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I'm going to ask, I know I asked this before, but I'm going to ask it again. What is it about the group that you are attracting that isn't somehow, forgive me, but good enough that you want a different group?
You know, that's a good word.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good word. I mean, good enough. Yeah, they are. You know, certainly the women I speak with or whoever I meet with the group are certainly good enough. But it's something about wanting to belong to that other group. You know, they. That's all I can say is it just seems like, wow, they were the big group. They're the ones that are doing the whole, you know, the whatever, the big lunch table. And then, like, here we are. Like, so example, I just went to another event. Now, lately, I think it's coming up more because I've been to a lot of events lately. And so there was another one. I was in Stanford, and there was maybe 150 people. So we broke into small tables, and then afterwards, like, I looked around, and, like, everybody kind of, like, went in one direction. And this other woman goes, oh, do you want to go to lunch? So, and then, you know, so I felt like there were two of us, and there were other groups of two, but then there were other big tables with all these people, and I'm like, they didn't invite me. So I don't know. It just feels like, you know, it feels like I want to belong to the big group, but, I mean, I'm quite fine with, you know, good conversation in a small group, too. But there's something that's annoying me. Something's bothering me about it.
And are you talking about, like events with an organization or group that you repeatedly go to, so you've got your ongoing connections with folks? Or are you talking about, like, you know, conferences and stuff, which is pretty much a one-shot deal?
No, I mean, it's pretty much, like, it'll be groups I'll see, like, every quarter we'll meet. Like, it can be. It's a variety of groups. So some of them I don't know anybody. And then other ones I might know one or two people. But, you know, we'll break out into different groups. And you know, so it's a variety. But, I mean, some of them are repeat people, but I don't know them well. I'll just see them on
occasion.
Gotcha.
So sometimes it's repeat people and sometimes it's completely new people.
Yes.
So let's look at both of those. How does this challenge for you manifest differently, if it does, in between those two groups, between those two situations?
Yeah, I feel the same.
Okay.
It feels similar. I always have that little bit of anxiety. Like, well, here's another example, though. So in the big group, we break into tables of, like, 8, right? And so, like, that's a smaller group, and so you would think that would make me feel more comfortable. But then I felt like when I made my contribution to the table, it kind of got overlooked, and then people, like, somebody else did something similar, like, two people down, they're like, oh, that's a great idea. So I'm like, I thought I said that.
Sounds a little frustrating when that happens. You give an idea that you think is great, or you contribute something, and it kind of goes over like a lead balloon, and then somebody else does the same thing, and it sounds like the greatest idea since sliced bread.
It's like, yo-ho,
so that makes,
you got it.
Yeah, no, it makes sense that would be frustrating.
Yeah, but I got the, like, oh, okay, thanks for your contribution, and like, two, and it must be, maybe I said it differently. Who knows? I'm, you know, certainly not playing a victim here, but I'm just, like, wondering what it is that I'm doing, because I'm the only common denominator between all of those people.
Sure.
So I recognize that. So I'm just wondering if it's something that's just neat, or I don't know. I think my concern is I'm not attracting the energy of, like, the bigger group. And so, like, you know, as I said, I'm working on my energy and, you know, attracting good things into my life. And I'm like, well, those four people were all having a big party, and I didn't get attracted. I like, they weren't attracted to me, or I wasn't included to them. Does this sound silly?
Well, how does it sound to you?
It sounds kind of funny right now, but it does bother me. It has come up, and it is really, it seems like it could be simple, but I'm just missing it.
Okay. So what kind of, as you think back about any feedback you may have, you know, gotten from people over the course of time about how you come across in groups. You know, sometimes people are very generous about that, or sometimes we're in a formal kind of setup where we're getting that kind of feedback. What feedback have you gotten in the past about how you come across or how you show up in a group setting?
You know, nothing negative. Matter of fact, sometimes, like, I got it actually from this group I just mentioned in Stanford. I got a lovely email from the one woman that was there. She goes, oh, I was so new. I was so grateful that you came over and talked to me. You were so generous with your time and kind of, like, introducing me. I'm like, oh, okay, thank you. I get positive feedback. Or I've even gotten, like, an email or a text or an email from someone, like, I met in Costa Rica one time, and they're like, I really thought about what you said. I tried it out with my kids. And it just changed the way I treat my kids. So, I mean, I get good feedback.
Mm-hmm.
It's me. I mean, it's totally something internal for me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. If you had to guess, right, if you had to guess, what would you think it is that might be going on there? Like, if you were forced to really take a guess and...
You know, this is going to sound strange, but now that you ask that question, I feel like it's a little self-sabotage.
Okay. Like, tell me a little more about that.
Well, I think I show up being, like, you know, a pretty strong person, pretty confident. But then maybe I'm not vulnerable enough to, you know, like maybe superficial conversations I'm having. I don't know the word self-sab. I read an article recently that said something about, like, if you show up looking to be stronger than you are and, like, almost kind of camouflaging a weakness, that it might be like a little bit of self-sabotage because you're not really letting yourself be vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go with that. So you said showing up a little, how did you word it? Showing up a little stronger than you are to make up for a weakness? Is that what I heard you say?
Well, something in an article I read recently, and it kind of resonated with me. And like, I wonder if I do
so
that.
So tell me about what
confident.
That, you know, what about, what about that resonated with you? What did that touch in you?
I do generally appear to be very confident, and I usually am, but I think in groups, because I do feel a little vulnerable, like I'm not going to be the popular one. I don't know how to say that, or like the included one. I think I do have a little anxiety about it, so I show up pretty confident because I don't want to show up like I don't have any friends. Like, you know, I'm desperate for a friend. So I don't. Maybe I appear to be too confident, or maybe that comes off a little odd.
Well, I wonder if perhaps, I mean, what sometimes happens for folks in that kind of situation, especially if they're afraid of not being received well and not feeling
mm-hmm.
included, it's pretty common to sometimes come on a little too strong. How possible is it that might be how you're coming across for folks?
Well, they could think I don't really care about if I have a friend or not. Yeah, maybe I just appear to be like, okay, like, this is all good. And, yeah, I could be, you know, overly confident.
Mm-hmm. Or you could come in too strong, or sometimes people could, not necessarily arrogant or overconfident, but just, like, trying too hard.
Oh, okay. So that could be it, because I feel a little anxiety towards it. Because I do have, you know, as you said, normally I'm kind of like an average person, kind of like, you know, mingle with the crowd. But, you know, in the group setting, maybe I do show up a little bit like that. Because I know, obviously, it's something I'm projecting. I know that. I recognize
mm-hmm.
that.
So right,
it's got to be something about me.
So how could you begin to observe yourself with a different lens now to maybe check that theory out?
Well, I kind of try to do a little bit of a shift, a mindset shift, and say, like, before I speak, is the statement something about me, or is it just a comment that's going to make me appear to be, you know, more confident? So I'm kind of trying to watch the types of conversations I engage in and see if maybe a comment doesn't need to be made, or I could make it in a different way that might be more open. Maybe ask more questions than make a statement. That might be a good approach. Maybe ask people more about themselves and do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I think that's a really, really great suggestion, Kathy. It's a great idea, because I know that one of the things that I often coach my clients about, and I've even done some video blogs about with networking events particularly, is to be interested rather than interesting. And to go to these events, to go to these kinds of events with the intention to help others and give, rather than to be there to kind of get and see what I can get, what business can I get from people. But instead, you know, who can I connect people with? You know, to go there to serve others and be curious and wonder about others. And I mean, I just found, you know, that since as a coach, I'm always curious about others and what's going on with them and why they want what they want. So I tend to naturally, in conversations very often, at least with new people, ask questions that are curious about them. And it leads to some really great conversations. I mean, I even learned just the other day, a cab driver that picked me up here in the city and was driving home, and I learned that he's five people away from having 7,000 Instagram followers, right? Now,
wow.
How many people do you know that about their cab driver, right? So, but it's interesting because when you express an interest in people, you know, they share, they open up. And that might offset some of the appearance of trying too hard, perhaps. So I know it's an effective technique in many different realms. How, as you think about that, because you came up with it, right, and then you hear my sort of reflecting it back, how likely does it sound that could be a good way to go and at least test that out?
Well, I think that makes sense because normally in other situations, that's the way I pretty much do show up. So that's my kind of normal mode where I do connect with people. I think it's maybe that anxiety about, you know, being in a large group and I show up differently. So if I could just kind of check my ego or check my anxiety at the door and just approach it, you're right, rather than saying like, oh God, am I going to get invited to the big table? Maybe, you know, it's not so important. I'll meet the people I'm supposed to meet, and if I ask curious questions, I might find interesting things out about people, and it might just shift the whole conversation away from me, and it might be about other people.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Which, and I don't know the answer to this, but, you know, who knows, perhaps that ultimately, you know, when you're seen as somebody who's curious and interested in others and wanting to help them and having something to give rather than having something to get, that maybe that starts to result in invitations at the big table, right? So it's like I feel like we started out at, you know, why don't I get invited to the big table and how can I? And I feel like where my intuition is pulling me with you is, well, how do you become more effective at the little table first and then worry about the big table? That's kind of where I feel like our progression has gone here. And it wasn't necessarily by design, at least not my design. it just seems pretty significant that it went that way. So just wondering what you think about that.
Yeah, because I'm really okay at the small table for the most part. If I wasn't observing that I didn't get invited, I'd probably be quite fine, as I said, you know, whoever I was with having a good conversation. So I think if I shift it, I think you're right about that, though. If I just shift my attention away from whether or not that's so important, it wouldn't necessarily be significant anymore. I think I was overthinking it. I really don't think I was overthinking because normally I would show up curious and, you know, inquisitive and kind of like, you know, ready to serve. And that's my normal mode. But in large groups, it seems like I shift to being different. And that, you know what, if I just show up as myself, I probably would be just fine.
Well, now there's an interesting lesson for life that I'm sure none of us have ever heard before. Just be yourself. But they're a wonderful quote.
Everybody
one. Be yourself.
Yeah, everyone else
is taken. Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. Well, you know what? It was a good reconnect with me. I think I just needed somebody. I definitely needed somebody to talk it through with me. I'm a talk and listen person. So I just needed somebody to give me some insight. So that was really, that's helpful. That is totally helpful.
Well, excellent. Excellent. Great. And that's what, you know, that's what coaching is all about. So great. So recap for me, what's the biggest insight you got from this conversation, Kathy?
So the biggest insight I got from the conversation with you, Mark, and I thank you for that, is the insight that, you know, just showing up more like myself and being curious about other people and not so much paying attention to, you know, which table I'm sitting at, but really engage with the people I'm in and be curious about them and just really be interested in what they're doing. I think we'll really focus my attention on being present, and the real big takeaway is I can just show up as me and not have that anxiety about it.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, very good. Well, Kathy, thank you for the call. Thank you for being a faithful, mark my words, listener.
Oh,
I really
love the
it.
Show.
Oh, great. Good. Well, I'm glad to hear it, and keep listening. And I wish you the best of luck, and feel free to reach out to me and, you know, get a follow-up and let me know how it goes next time you're in a group situation.
I will definitely do that. Thank you so much, Mark. I appreciate your time tonight.
You're welcome, Kathy. You're very welcome. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Take
care. The number to call, actually, there was another caller from Philadelphia who just dropped off. So if you're on, please call back in again. If the number to call, if you'd like to talk to us here live, here on Mark My Words, is 646-716-9397. We're going to take a short break in just a moment while I announce some great stuff that's available to you as a Mark My Words listener from our sponsor, Audible.com. Mark My Words is happy to be sponsored by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information. They have more than 150,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now. And if you sign up at our URL, which is audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio, you'll get one free audiobook and 1 month trial of service. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And there are some great titles that relate directly to tonight's topic that are available on Audible, one of which is Confident Public Speaking in Groups, Meetings, and Presentations, written by Linda Hudson. So you might want to check that out. And actually, Kathy, I'm sure you're still listening. Feel free to check that out as well. And also, let's see, do we have any others? We also have another book about... Well, I don't know. This one just kind of hit me for some reason. Procrastination. Why do you do it and what to do about it now? Maybe I'll just read that one later. Ha, ha, ha. And it's like the joke about Procrastinators Anonymous that no one ever paid their dues on time. So that's from our sponsor, Audible.com. And again, remember, if you go to our URL, which is audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio, you'll get one free audiobook and 1 month trial of the service. So again, the number to call, 646-716-9397, if you want to be coached. And we do have another caller on the line. So it looks like we have Darlena from Philadelphia. And let's get Darlena here. Hello, thank you. You're on Mark My Words.
Hi, Mark. I'm here.
Great. How are you?
I am excellent.
Good, good. Yeah, I saw you come up on the dashboard and then you disappeared, so I'm glad you called back.
Yes, my call dropped. I'm in New York, so you know how it is out here.
yep, certainly. So where are you calling from right now? Your signal's breaking up just a little bit.
Oh, because I am at this, I'm in Secaucus. And I've been having some signal issues out here today, so I'm hoping that I can hang with you. I'm mobile, but it's I don't know, but I'll do my best.
Okay, great. So what are we helping you with today, Darlena?
I am the biggest procrastinator,
uh-huh.
And I have a problem with execution. I know exactly what I'm going to do and what I want to do, and I'll plan it. But when it's time to do it, I always, like, stop real short of the mark.
Well, very common thing, procrastination, right? I think a lot of my listeners out there probably deal with that. I know I do myself. Sometimes I feel like if I were to try to count the unfinished things in my life, I wouldn't be able to keep track of them all. So I can relate to that a little bit.
Yes.
You know, and that's pretty common. So how long have you recognized that you're a procrastinator, as you might put it?
Probably more so in the last 3 to 6 months. Like, I really am, like, self-sabotaging with this procrastination, and it just needs to go someplace.
Uh-huh. So what's changed in the last 3 to 6 months for you?
Because I've been asked to do things, and, you know, because I procrastinate, I lose out on these opportunities because I just took too long to get it together. I was asked to do some speaking things in my city. asked to put together a workshop for Welfare to Work, which is a program in my city. And I've done none of them, or I started them, just didn't complete them. So, of course, the opportunities are no longer available because she procrastinated and did not execute.
Okay. So you said that this has been going on, though, for the last three to six months. What was different before 3 or 6 months ago that kept you from procrastinating?
Well, these types of opportunities weren't available then. So I was working a full-time job, and then I decided, well, let me just put myself out there and see what I get. So I get these bites, and I'm like, okay, I'm ready to do it, and then I don't do it. So I don't know what it is.
So,
I think it's fear of success or something. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing. So it's in the face of some new opportunities that you've not had before, and they kind of stop you. They stop you dead in your tracks. So tell me a little bit about what it is that, if you were afraid of success, which is also a very, very common thing, what is it that has you fearful of succeeding at what you're putting yourself out there about?
I don't know. Well, I'm thinking that I've never been really rich. I've always been okay. I came from a very meager, poor background. And so it just seems like I'm afraid that if I get money, it's going to change something. And I think it goes back to my religious upbringing that rich people are bad, you know, poor people are better. Because money is the root of all evil. You know that, right? Well, that's really not what it says. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. But, you know, I just made that up for myself, I guess.
Yeah. All right. So tell me again what you made up for yourself.
That money is bad. You know,
okay.
Being rich is bad.
Yeah. Absolutely. So if you think that, right, how does that belief serve you?
It doesn't.
Okay.
It doesn't. It keeps not only my money limited, but it keeps my where I can live and how I can live and how I can take care of my daughter. It keeps all of that limited by not taking advantage of these great skills I have.
Yeah, absolutely. So Darlena, I'd like to. I'm getting kind of just like an intuitive hit here, and I want to ask you what might be a deep question. May I do that?
Okay. Yes.
Who is it that you'll be betraying if you attract the wealth that you want one day?
My parents, because my father was a minister, and I was brought up very heavily in church. And I don't know why in certain communities that if you have money, like it's like you're bad. And even like the folks, the one or two people that were in our congregation that had money, it was like they were put on this, like, pedestal, and that person was mean, and, you know, sometimes they did good things, but the majority of the time they didn't. And so I just think that if I get to where that person was, that I won't have the approval of my family.
Gotcha. Okay. So, you know, so it makes total sense, and I really appreciate your going there with me because this, you know, this is, money can just be so personal, you know. So
yes.
It makes complete sense to me, and I think it would to most people, that if that has been your experience around seeing somebody who has the money they want, that you would have that belief.
Right? Yes.
And that you would then avoid accumulating that kind of money and earning that kind of money and keep yourself under-earning.
Yes.
So let me ask you this. How true is that belief, really, that money is evil, money is bad, and people who earn the money that they want and that they enjoy are somehow bad?
It's not true.
How come?
Because I have met people who have money who are not bad, who live well, and who are great people. So they are living proof that money is not bad because they're great people.
Okay. Okay. Now tell me a little bit more. Now let's go back to the betrayal of your parents. How true is it that they will be betrayed by your financial success?
It's not true because they need my money.
Tell me more about that.
So I actually lost my father last year. And so my mother is now trying to survive on her own, and that's definitely no good at all.
Okay. So she really needs your help is what I'm hearing you say. Right? Is that what you're saying? She really needs your help. Are you still there? Oh, it looks like we lost you. So I'm just going to stay, and you can call back. Maybe we'll pick you back up again.
Hello.
Oh, there you are. Now you're back.
Yes, I'm there. Here.
Okay. So what I'm hearing you say, Darlena, is that your mom really needs your help.
She does need my help. She does need my help. My parents were from the age where the mother stayed at home and the father worked. So losing my father was huge for my mother because, you know, she tried to work a little bit, but, you know, she really didn't have to. And so, my father worked until the day he died. So I know that I don't want to mirror that. So I definitely have to do these things to use my gifts not only for myself, but 100% for my mother.
Yeah. So, you know, it's so great because what I'm hearing is that it's not even that you want to, earn lots of money so that you can have nice things and a higher standard of living. And not that that would be, you know, a bad thing either, but it's just even a step further. And it's about somebody else. It's about helping somebody else, right?
Yes.
What does that do to the notion of, well, money's a bad thing and it's dirty if you have it? What does that do to that notion for you?
It kind of slings it straight out the window. It really does, because it wouldn't be bad to be able to help my mother. And I know that my skill set will help me do that where, you know, my siblings are not in a position with the same skill set to be able to, you know, create the finances that I could create if I would just execute.
Okay. Great. So here's something that I'm hearing, which is interesting. So you have this thought about money, that money is dirty, money is gross, and it betrays my family and whatnot if I earn it, because only bad people earn money. That's what I learned in church and et cetera, right?
Yeah.
So then you feel anxious about the notion of earning money, right? So then what you do is you procrastinate and you don't respond to anything that comes in might bring you that income, right? And it makes sense.
Yes.
Again, like I said, if you're thinking and feeling that, it makes sense that that's what you're going to do. So how would it serve you? How well would it serve you to have a different thought about money?
It would serve me excellently well if I could change the thought.
Great. Yes. So when you change that thought, right, you're saying it will really serve you well. So,
yes,
let's take a look at that. What would be a new thought you could have about money that would empower you more, that you can really buy into and know is truth?
Let me see. That money can bring freedom and security for my family, my mom particularly, and then me second.
Great. Okay. Good. And I mean, I also just want to acknowledge, I hear that you care so much and love your mom so much.
I do.
Yeah. And you want to help her. So that's why this is important to you. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you had that new thought about money, that money brings freedom to someone, money can bring freedom to someone you love as well as to yourself, right?
Yeah.
How would that make you feel?
The thought of it makes me feel free. It makes me feel hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
It really makes me feel hopeful that I can change this thought and really create the finances that my mom needs. Because the last thing I want my mother to think about is, oh, my God, I could lose the house. Oh, my God, I could, you know, not be able to afford, you know, my life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I have four brothers and four sisters, so there's a lot of us. And so what we've been doing over the past year, we just all just contribute the best way we can. You know, whatever you can squeeze out of your budget for mommy every month, that's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I mean, it's working, but, you know, some months is not so good. And so I just know that I have $1 million skill set. I really do. When I have seen myself in action, I amaze myself so much. And one of my good friends came to an event that I had done, and she recorded me. And when I saw myself, I was like, oh, my God, is that me? And so, you know, and that's just from years of trying to hone my skills and being in Toastmasters and all of those different things that help, you know, you to be able to disseminate good information. And so if I can get past it and push past it and accept that money is going to be a freeing thing for, you know, my mother not to have, you know, worry.
Sure.
I think that I would not only serve her well, but the communities that I'll be able to help as well.
Excellent. Absolutely. And so, wow, I'm hearing so many things that I want to respond to. I hope I can hold them all in my head and get to them. So first of all,
yes.
One is, I'd like you to reframe when you said a couple of times, if you can turn this around and if you, what if you were to change that to something more definite, like when you turn this around and when you hone your skills and when you get out there and make that a little bit more of a declaration? How would that feel for you?
I think I like that better. I know I like that better.
All right, let's hear you say that.
When I turn this around, I will be able to free myself and my mother.
Yeah. How's that feel?
That feels awesome.
Yeah. And you know what I'm hearing, Darlena, is that you know that you've got some amazing gifts to share with the world.
Yes.
Right? And by sharing those gifts with the world, you then have the financial resources to be able to share your other gift of generosity with your mother, who you care so much about. Right?
Yes.
So you've really been, and you mentioned that you have a religious background. So I'm assuming then that, I'm guessing that you are in touch with some value around the gifts that you have as a human being, that those were given to you. Right?
Yes.
So, you know, I heard it said that Mother Teresa actually had said, what is given to us is given to us to share, not to keep. What does that mean to you, and how does that connect to some of your religious beliefs?
I feel like the gift that I've been given, that if I don't share it, it is truly sinful not to share the gift that God has given me.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, that's where I figured you were coming from in your belief. So, yeah. I also heard it said once that the only true sin is to die with your song yet unsung.
Yes.
You've got a song to sing.
I do.
Right? And it's like, you know, and I know when I teach in the coaching program, we talk about this, about, you know, helping clients to recognize that they have gifts. And it's like, we all have gifts. And you know what? We don't have the right to hold them back.
No.
We don't really have the right to not use them. they were given to us to have an impact on the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yep. If you believe that we were put on the planet to take care of it and contribute to it in some way, and I'm not just talking about, you know, in a green and sustainable way. I'm talking taking care of each other, people, you know, the green sustainable way, as well as just taking care of other human beings' way, which is all part
yes.
of that, right?
Yes.
If that's
yes.
what we're here to do, then,
yep.
well, that's the job you're given, right?
Yes. Yes.
So what's it feel
and
like to be motivated? I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say I'm okay doing it for my friends and for people who call me when their world is falling apart. I'm great at that. But when it comes to doing it at a bigger level, that's where the execution and the procrastination, the non-execution
well,
and the procrastination comes in.
Well, what I'm hearing is that when you're doing it for the friends and all that kind of stuff, there's no money in it.
It's definitely not.
So it's okay. When there's
yes.
money in it, ew, all of a sudden it's dirty.
Yes, yes.
Right?
That's it. That's so it. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
So if you, so great. So, Darlena, if you've got this new thought about money, that money provides freedom for you and for those you love, particularly your mom, and you said you feel really free by that, and you feel like, I think you said you feel excited by that, right? So
yes.
with that, what's the first thing that you could do this week, given that you're now thinking and feeling that new thought and new feeling?
I think that I need to write it down, laminate it, put it on my mirror, and then start. I think the first thing is probably the organizations that originally asked me to work with them, to maybe reach back out to them and tell them that I'll execute this time.
To maybe reach back out to them?
No, definitely reach back out to them.
There you go.
Definitely reach back out to them, yes.
Yeah, okay. So how would you feel then about committing to taking that action, right, this week? So say by, I don't know, by the end of the week, by the middle of the week, we'll put a time frame on that just a moment. But by actually connecting with one of those organizations and saying, I'm here, let's do this. How would it feel? How willing would you be to take that on?
I'm willing. I'm definitely willing. I can actually send an email tonight.
Oh, excellent. Okay, excellent. How likely are you to do that on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being it's done and 1 being forget it, not going to happen?
8.
Okay. Great.
8.
Great. I'll take that 8. How would you feel about sending me, reach out to me on Facebook or send me an email letting me know that you did that?
I absolutely will do that.
Good. I'm really looking forward to hearing about that. That's terrific. That's terrific.
Yes.
You did some good stuff there, Darlena, and you sound real energized about it.
I am. I really feel like... I don't even know. How long did that take? Like 10 minutes? For you to help me see that. Like, you are amazing. Like, I'm so appreciative of you, and I thank you for the opportunity to get that from you. I know I don't believe that anything happens by accident. I think that the universe is always plotting to help us in some kind of way, and I know that God knew I needed to do something to make movement, and in a matter of this short time, I know exactly what to do. So for that,
great.
Thank you.
Ah, you're so welcome. And you know, I'm operating under the same law that you are. I also don't have the right to hold back my gifts. So,
yes.
So that's why I get to be here and contribute them to you and anybody else that's listening. So. So great, Darlena. Thank you so much for the call, and thanks for being one of my listeners here on Mark My Words.
Thank you, Mark.
You're very welcome. Have a great night. I look forward to hearing from you later
too.
Tonight, and tell me you sent me that email.
Yes, I will. Thank you again.
You're very welcome. Take care, Darlena.
All right.
Wow. So, yeah, you know, sometimes we're all like we're afraid of success. And when we start digging deep and looking like, where does that come from? And start challenging that and wondering like that, what is that? You know, we can really, really shift. And You know, there we were able to uncover what Darlena's thoughts were about money. And, you know, our thoughts cause us to feel certain things. You know, if I think something, well, then I'm going to have a feeling in response to it. Well, if I think something else, I'll have a different feeling in response to it. So change the thought, change the feeling, and then the action that we take changes. Because if what we're feeling is displeasurable, we're going to take action to decrease or sustain what's going on. If the feeling is pleasurable, we're going to take actions to increase. If it is displeasurable, we will take action to decrease or eliminate what's going on. If it's pleasurable, we'll take actions to increase or sustain it. So what we did there was shifted Darlena's thought to something that caused a more positive feeling or a more anabolic feeling. As we talk about different kinds of energy, right? And that led her to feel the motivation to take a whole different action, which I really believe and know that she's going to take. So great, great, great stuff. And good. So before we close for tonight, I just want to list and announce some of the upcoming shows that are coming up here on the Life Coach Radio Network, hosted by some of my awesome colleagues here on the Life Coach Radio Network's team of talented and dedicated coaches, all dedicated to making your life just a little bit more of what you want it to be. So my next show, of course, is going to be Sunday, December 7th. So feel free now to go to the show page and just scroll through on the blogtalkradio.com/Life Coach Radio Network, and then go scroll through that, the upcoming episodes, until you find the next episode of Mark My Words, and click the blue reminder button so that you won't miss it. And upcoming shows on the Life Coach Radio Network in the next day or two, two really great ones. Tomorrow night at 8 p.m. is The Universe Talks with Life Coach Monica Ortiz. So how to make the changes you need. Monica is going to be speaking with Sam Zertok, co-host of the Oneness podcast, Fun with the One, and author of God's Little Secret. They'll discuss how to make the changes you need, life's energy, hang-ups, blocks, and perception. And then following that, on Tuesday at 8 p.m. is New You City Chat with Danielle Mercurio. And in this broadcast, Danielle is going to bring on guest Brianna Rose. And together they're going to describe their experiences with the angels and how you actually have a whole team working with you, and to see the signs and how to see the signs and understand the messages. They'll even give live angel card readings for any listeners. So allow yourself to be immersed and touched by the angelic realm during this divine episode. And that pretty much wraps it up for tonight. I want to thank you all for listening, and thank the callers for calling in. And I invite you to mark your words if you'd like. If you have feedback about the show, go to markmywordsradio.com and scroll down to the feedback link. And if you have feedback you'd like to communicate to the Life Coach Radio Network, visit us at www.blogtalkradio.com/Life Coach Radio Network. And then click the follow button and send us a message. I hope you enjoyed the past hour and that you found it engaging, enlightening, and stimulating. I look forward to speaking with you all again on my next show on December 7th at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. So thank you for listening to Mark My Words. I'm Mark, and those are my words. Good night.